Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And now, we're on a roll. Iceman Insights.
Call us butter, because we're on a roll. Wait, no. Call us toilet paper, because we're on a roll.
That definitely much better. Iceman Insights, starring Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster. I forgot your titles.
Vice President of
Offbeat Shenanigans, IcemanManiacs.com, live from the studios in WYIR beneath the Wired Coffee House, 111 Northwest 4th Street, downtown Evansville. How you doing, Michael Shockley?
I'm happy. We're on the radio.
We are on
actually
the radio.
The real radio over the airwaves in Evansville in the tri-state area.
Like it well, was okay, meant to be.
That's probably overstating it. This station doesn't have that strong of a signal.
We got the stream, baby. We do.
That's
go
true.
That far.
We're worldwide.
We are worldwide.
Yeah.
So,
it's pretty awesome.
And the radio, the brand new antenna for WYIR 96.9 FM survived the tornado that hit Chandler Boonville. So brand new put in on Thursday, and then the tornado hits on Friday.
There's about 100,000 people in the Evansville area who learned the word macroburst over the last week.
Yes, indeed.
But anyway, yeah, first time in a long time we've been on the radio. I looked it up, and the last time we were on the air on WYIR was over 5 months ago, way back on December 11th.
I got all kinds of good reviews about us not being on the radio.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we're back.
Ratings went up while we were gone.
I told President of the Ministry, Andy Fuller, that I was doing amusement park radio, and he said,
Meh.
But anyways, news and notes.
No news yet on the Iceman head coach search, I guess. Still just plugging away.
Can tell you that one of the applicants, Pascal Riom.
Really?
Yep. Got the email from him last week.
Interesting.
Yep, so I forwarded it on to the big boss man.
I know, actually, Dixie said she ran into Ron Gary downtown on Tuesday, I believe it was, Monday or Tuesday. And she said that he said the coaching search is going well and that they've gotten applicants from all over the place, including some people that have been coaching in Europe. Mr. Geary said that he will let the search committee make the final decision. He doesn't get a vote because, quote, he's 0-2 in that realm.
Funny.
So, yeah. But, yeah, no real news on the head coaching search. I'm sure we'll find out soon enough. And no news on the equipment manager either. I know Patafi had said on EvansvilleIceman.com that one of the candidates, and the one that he was apparently lobbying for, was someone that everyone would be excited about. Do you know anything about that?
Nope.
Why would anyone be excited about the equipment manager?
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I haven't been in the office very much.
Yeah.
So I've actually been on the road more than I've been in the office, so I have no idea what's going on.
Well, that brings us to our next little topic. The Iceman Leadership Retreat was last week. Patafi, again, posted on EvansvilleIceman.com that he is really happy with the direction of the organization. He also mentioned that No More Bullies will officially continue for another season, so that's awesome.
Yep, they reached over 7,000 kids, between 7,000 and 10,000 kids by the time the whole season is done as far as No More Bullies through the school year.
That's awesome.
Yep. And Nathan Moon went to every single visit.
Wow.
Yep.
That's awesome. Have you heard anything from Patafi or anyone about anything that went on with the leadership retreat? Or just
nope.
No scoop?
Nope.
All right. Well, then we'll move on to the next news and note. The Indy Fuel will have the market to themselves. The USHL's Indiana Ice have been granted dormancy for the 2014-2015 season because they don't have anywhere to play.
Well, that'd be a tough market, the whole two teams
like
that.
Yeah, so. I don't think it would have worked anyway, but they really don't have anywhere to play because the Fuel have the Coliseum, and a junior team can't feasibly financially play an entire season at a building like Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and the rink they played most of their games at this past season, Pan Am Plaza, is going to be torn down soon. So
yeah, right.
The word is it's actually going to happen finally. I'll believe it when it happens.
Yeah.
They've been saying that for 10 years. But
yep.
That's what they're blaming it on. That's their official reason.
Yep.
It probably has nothing to do with the fact that they haven't sold any season ticket renewals because everyone's going to go see the Fuel.
Yep, yep. And I understand. And, yeah, what can you do? It's just it's the way it is. It's tough.
Yep.
It's business.
In another unfortunate business decision, the Las Vegas Wranglers in the ECHL don't have anywhere to play either. That was the team that had put together the plan to play at the Plaza Casino on the roof. And, well, that fell through. Not the roof. It just fell through because it's going to be a lot more expensive than they thought. They got kicked out of their arena, and then they said, well, we're going to build a tent, basically, a glorified tent on the roof of a casino. And then they decided, well, that's not going to work, so we're going to build this glorified tent in a parking lot. And apparently that was too expensive, too. So now they really don't have anywhere to play, and their future is in serious doubt. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Vegas. I'm sure at this point the ECHL has got to be counting down the days until they say, sorry, we got to move forward without you for next season, because sooner or later they got to make a schedule and finalize the teams and the playoff format and all that stuff.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's that. They could probably wait a little bit longer with the West Coast because San Francisco folded in mid-season and they figured it out. Quick reshuffling of the schedule and everything was fine. So, and all the teams are going to make the playoffs, so it's not going to affect any competitive advantage for any team, so it's not that big of a deal.
Well, that brings up the question. If Vegas falls apart, or if they go dark for a season, or how are we going to call it, if they're not taking the ice this coming season, that would leave only seven teams in the West. What do you do with the playoff format? What would you do? If you've got 13 teams in the East, but only seven in the West?
That's a good question. I don't know. I wouldn't. I would
actually 14 with Indy coming on.
I would probably go to best of six, and I would do it. The top two teams get a bye into the second round, and then the other four teams
play to advance.
Play to advance. So
that way, it's not an automatic berth for everyone just for playing. They don't get a participation medal and an automatic advance to the playoffs.
Yeah, I will say that one of the things Ron Gary has told me is that he wants to pitch. He doesn't know if he's going to pitch it or not, but he would be interested in thinking about the best 16 teams make the playoffs.
Really?
So last year, Florida and Evansville would have
gotten
made
in,
it.
Right.
And so Evansville would have started the first round of the playoffs in Alaska. And I said, Ron, I support that idea 100% because that's all I want to do is go to Alaska on your dime. But you got to realize the expense involved.
Yeah. I'm surprised he would be interested at all in that because of the potential travel problems associated with it.
Yeah, and it's the playoffs are you lose money. League-wide, they average 35% of what you do in the season is what you see on a nightly basis for the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So
we even saw that Fort Wayne was only drawing 4,000 and 5,000 a night for playoffs, and they averaged 7,800 during the regular season. It is a steep drop.
Yep. So
interesting.
But yep, that's how I would handle that situation. But maybe I'll get a call into Joe Ernst, see if we can talk about the situation a little bit.
What would you think of maybe a more radical idea if you've got 14 teams in the East and seven teams in the West? You could theoretically go with three divisions of seven and then have some weird sort of crossover system for playoffs. I don't know how. I mean, I don't know how you would work that. Maybe give all three division winners an automatic berth and then the next best however many teams.
If I was in the ECHL front office, I would have a really hard time telling an owner that he has to incur the travel cost of playing on the West.
Yeah.
I understand for the championship, you got to do it, but there is no way I could tell Elmira or one of the Florida teams, hey, congratulations, you're starting
you're going
off
to Alaska.
Yeah, you're starting off. And anyway, even just Baker, even Colorado.
Yeah.
That is so far that I'm, you know, people complain and they say it's not fair and everything else. This is the ECHL. This is not the NHL.
Yeah.
We are the ECHL. We are professional hockey, but we are not the top dog, and we just make it up as good as we can, and that's the way it is.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. I think if Vegas manages to figure out a way to stay alive and they have eight teams, you won't see any major overhaul. It'll be interesting to see how they slot the teams in the East with Indy coming in, but in general, I think you would still have an East and a West. If Vegas falls apart, who knows what they'll do? They could go any number of directions, and ultimately it may come down to whether or not the owners in the East are up for possibly setting themselves up for mandatory travel to the West Coast during the playoffs.
Well, you got to remember, too, though, it's they use the 2-3-2 method, so whatever's on the West Coast, when they play the playoffs against an Eastern team, they got to come back to the East Coast as well. They're guaranteed one trip out here.
Yep.
Regardless of who's the higher seed.
Yeah.
So it's expensive for both sides.
Very much so. Yeah, those Western teams are a little more used to flying, I think, than the Eastern teams. Some of them, especially with Alaska, they fly back and forth there. But
I think there's some kind of rule that, I don't know if it's a rule or a suggestion or highly recommended, but the ECHL wants the Eastern teams once every 3 years, I believe, to visit a team out west. And a lot of these Eastern Conference teams balk at this.
Yeah.
So since he went out and did it, but they did preseason games up in Alaska.
Yeah.
And I think a couple of the teams, somebody went to Idaho. Did Kalamazoo or somebody like that went to Idaho this year?
I remember somebody went out there in addition to Cincy, but I don't recall who.
Fort Wayne went to Vegas.
Yeah.
It's hard to get them to just go out there and play a series,
yeah.
Let alone to start working on the playoffs.
Yeah. It's easy to sit in a radio studio and say, they should do this. It's a whole different thing if you're the one actually having to foot the bill.
Exactly.
All right, moving on. Affiliation news. Did want to follow up. We mentioned a few shows ago that the Fuel signed a 5-year affiliation deal with the Chicago Blackhawks, but we were wondering whether or not it was actually legit because they announced it on April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
And it turns out it actually is legit.
Yep.
So just to follow up and make that official, they are in bed with the Blackhawks for 5 years, and that is a long time for a double-A team to sign an affiliation deal.
Yep, but obviously the Blackhawks want it. It's a great thing for Indy because they can get a little bit of cross-promotion there. They're not too far from Chicago.
Yeah.
It's a great setup.
And there's a lot of Blackhawks fans in Indy, too. That's one of the Indy's kind of this perfect distance from multiple teams, and it's like split in thirds. There's a lot of Red Wings fans, a lot of Blackhawks fans, and a lot of Blues fans. But and now, who knows, there may be some Blue Jackets fans mixed around in there because of the geography, too. But, that's a great marketing tool for the Fuel. I would question it more from the Blackhawks' standpoint of locking up a team for 5 years when it's an unknown commodity and an expansion team. But from Indy's perspective, it's an awesome deal to sign.
Yep. Well, I don't know. They must know the ownership there. So if the ownership's halfway decent, then you trust that it's going to work out okay, and what's the worst that can happen? You mess up the contract so bad that they'll sue you and break it. So I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
Contracts are only worth the paper they're written
on.
In other affiliation news, the Elmira Jackals are switching their NHL affiliation from the New Jersey Devils to the Buffalo Sabres, which makes a lot of sense geographically speaking.
Yep.
The fun part of this is, the Sabres' AHL affiliate is the Rochester Americans, and from a marketing standpoint, the Sabres seriously, I guess, somehow with a straight face, refer to Rochester as Sabres University.
Ah.
So now the Sabres fans, mocking that stupid marketing plan, are jokingly calling the Elmira Jackals Sabres Community College.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
I do, too.
I will use that on the radio.
Exactly, yeah. Sabres Community College. So, and then final news and notes. To the surprise of no one, the St. Charles Chill in the CHL have folded. Also folding are the Mississippi Surge in the SPHL. They're down in Biloxi. And the Bloomington Thunder in the SPHL have officially folded as a professional team and have been replaced as a junior team, also using the Thunder name, in the USHL.
Cool. And that's something, too, about the West. I'm sure the ECHL wants to get teams out in that Western Conference. But this silly season, this time last year during silly season, was Tulsa and somebody, Allen.
All the Rapid City.
They all wanted to go to the ECHL, and the CHL pulled out, again, the contract and everything else. So there's some teams that are interested that may be coming in over the next few years.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they may not come this year. It seems like this year that's really quieted down about the CHL teams moving over. But
yeah, they won't come this year because it has to be announced, I think, December 31st that is official.
The ECHL, it's too late from the ECHL standpoint,
But they're coming eventually, so the ECHL is just going to kind of wade water there a little bit.
Wait until the CHL's boat completely sinks and take on.
Or those contracts run
expire,
out, and then they'll take over. So.
Yep.
So, Iceman player news, and this one came out of nowhere, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, Garrett Bartus signed a PTO, a professional tryout, with AHL Rochester, Sabres University. On April 29th, he did dress as their backup goaltender for a couple of playoff games. Unfortunately, they lost and were eliminated, and after they were eliminated, they officially released him from that PTO, but still pretty cool that he got to go up to the AHL and spend a couple games with a team during the playoffs and actually dress.
I actually wandered into the Iceman office on a Wednesday afternoon and thought, well, I'm here, I might as well check my email. And I got this information that Rochester had contacted me wanting pictures of Garrett Bartus and bio information and everything else, and I didn't even check it till 12:30 in the afternoon. And so I called the guy and everything else and apologized and got him out a bunch of information. But it was like, oh, awesome. Oh, crap. I got work to do.
Yeah, this falls under my job. Yep. Uh-oh.
How about that Thomas Larkin?
Yeah, currently representing Italy in the IIHF World Championships. He has won.
Played for them before.
Yes, that's true. All the way up through juniors, he represented his country. He is one of 41 players in that tournament with ECHL experience, but he's only one of only two who played in the ECHL this season. So Larkin is one, and the other is Latvia goaltender Kristaps Gudlevskis, who is the man who became famous by backstopping Latvia in the Olympics and almost stunning the world against Canada. So pretty good company for Mr. Larkin to be one of only two who have played in the ECHL and the IIHF Worlds this season.
Yep.
All right, moving on. Not such good news for us, I guess. Dalton Levier has signed with the Rouen Dragons in France. The contract is for next season, but I guess there's still a possibility he could return. Remember, Nathan Moon signed in Europe this past season, and once the ECHL season arrived, he came back home. So wouldn't totally close the book on Levier coming back at some point next season, but he's got a job at least locked away if he doesn't get an offer here in North America.
Yeah, we've had Iceman players go to France in the past, and they've never come back.
That's true.
So I don't see it happening.
And then final player note worth passing on, former captain Todd Robinson has apparently decided to retire. He has been named the new assistant coach with the USHL's Muskegon Lumberjacks. He did play this past season in the CHL with the Tulsa Oilers, had 74 points in 48 games. So at least in that league, he's still got it. But he's hanging up his skates. He finishes with career totals of 1,375 points in 981 regular season games, plus 171 points in 144 playoff games.
How come he only played 48 games this year? Do you know? Was he injured?
I don't know. No, I have no clue. I would guess, there must have been an injury in there somewhere, because otherwise, why would he have not been playing?
Yep. Plug. Anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can go to IcemanManiacs.com and visit the Maniac message board for the latest player news. And as we have mentioned before, we will be leaking some official player news as it becomes available through the summer. So you definitely want to head to IcemanManiacs.com, but you didn't hear it from me.
Interesting. Yeah, totally off the record, but on the record.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Pick five.
All right. This is a little exercise. We did this last year. We're going to do it again this year.
I think I won last year.
I don't know how you win or lose. This is a matter of opinion. But The idea is you pick five players from the just completed season that you would bring back for the following season, and you only get five. There are some exclusions this year. We are excluding Matt Shepke because of the potential of him retiring, Patrick Kennedy because he finished the season in the AHL, and Tom Zanoski because he finished the season in Europe. We are also excluding any players who were here under NHL or AHL contracts, so that eliminates Jeremy Langlois, Alex Aliardi, Thomas Larkin, Joe Lavin, Austin Medeski, Mike Clemente, Tristan King, Kevin Lynch, and Kellen Tochkin. So
I believe Lynch and Tochkin's deals are both up this year.
I think most of the AHL deals are up, but just for simplicity's sake,
no, those are NHL. Tochkin's not an NHL deal.
Tochkin and King was too. Yep. Lynch was AHL. Yep. Clemente was AHL.
Those are automatic 3-year deals.
Really?
Yep. I did not know that.
Hmm. So for the simplicity's sake, though, we will limit this just to players whose ECHL rights we currently own. That gives us 17 players to choose from. The eight forwards are Marc Antoine, Josh Beaulieu, Andre Bouvet-Morissette, Dylan Clark, Dalton Levier, Matt Lowry, Nathan Moon, and Peter Sakaris. The eight defensemen are Lauren Barron, Antoine Corbin, Zach Curry, Donnie Harris, Dustin Hoffner, Jacob Johnston, Matt Krug, and Guy Lepine. And one goaltender is Garrett Bartus.
Yep.
Out of those 17, do you want to go first or shall I?
Well, why don't we do forwards first and then D and then goalie?
All right. Sounds good.
All right. I will go first. I am going to go heavy with the forwards, which is kind of weird for me because I'm big on the defensemen.
Yeah.
And let's put out the disclaimer right now. We have to pick five and only five. We are not picking people that we don't like or saying that these guys can't be on the team,
right,
or that we don't want them on the team. This is just a game. It is just an exercise
where we
are kind of picking our five favoritishes.
Can we have crossover? Like we each have the same guy?
Oh, yeah, okay. Definitely.
Gotcha.
So I am going to say I'm actually going to go with four forwards, my four of my five.
I am too, actually.
Okay. And like I said, I would bring back all of these defensemen, but it's a game, folks. It's a game. Andre Bouvet-Morissette, Dylan Clark, Matt Lowry, and Peter Sakaris.
Really?
Yep.
I'm going Josh Beaulieu, Nathan Moon, Matt Lowry, and Dalton Levier.
Wow. Interesting.
So I really different. Struggled, like you said, four out of the five are forwards. I seriously would consider Morissette, Clark. I would consider Sakaris too. It's just, yeah, you have to draw a line somewhere. So, yeah, my four forwards would be Beaulieu, Lowry, Moon, and Levier. Levier would be my last one in.
And actually, I kind of forgot about Josh being on the list. I kind of thought we were just going to make him automatic since he's the reigning captain. So, but regardless, okay, who do you got?
If we're doing that, okay. If Beaulieu is automatic,
let's go, I got one more spot. Yes, the captain is automatic.
All right, then I would go Lowry, Moon, Levier, and, man, it's between Clark and Morissette. I'll go Morissette.
The one thing that I saw this year that the Icemen really struggled with and that it seemed like a lot of the teams had this that made the playoffs are those 6'2", 6'3" fast guys. And they don't necessarily have to score 35 goals, but they just bring something to the table that you just can't replicate with a 5'10" player.
Right.
And you look at Patrick Kennedy. This team was fantastic when he was in the lineup. He gets called to Utica. He played every game with them. He never came back, and the same with Bouvet-Morissette and the healthy Dylan Clark, and I just think those guys are irreplaceable with the size.
Yeah, I think that's why I would go Morissette out of those bubble guys. He's got the size over Sakaris. Sakaris bangs his body around like a much larger man.
Yep.
But I would go Morissette over Sakaris because he's got the size. And also, I'm still a little worried about Clark's hip. You just don't know if he's ever going to get back to where he was. You mentioned a couple shows ago that he may have to have another surgery on it. And if that happens, who knows what condition he'll, you know, even if he gets back to a plateau, is it really 100% or does he just get back to 80%? And I guess I would rather have Morissette at 100% than Clark at 80%.
Yep.
If you could tell me without a doubt Clark would get back to 100%, I'd take Clark.
Sounds good. You got a D-man, or are you going with the goaltender?
I'm going with a D-man.
Okay. Who is it?
Guy Lapine.
Ah, nice. I am going with Jacob Johnston.
Really?
Yes, I really like...
I thought
like,
for sure you would go your boy Antoine Corbin.
Well, yeah. I really like Antoine Corbin as well, but Jacob Johnston, to me, it's first season as a pro, and fought through the injuries the whole entire season, finally had to shut it down. But he, to me, is I can see him scoring 15 goals. He was deadly on the power play. He's got a great shot. He's a great mobile defenseman. And not to mention he's physical. He plays with an edge. And he's bigger. He's more of that 6'1", 6'2" kind of guy. So I really like him.
He's aggressive offensively, but not to the point of being a liability defensively, which is a tough balance to find at this level.
Yeah, and I love Antoine Corbin. We've talked about that before. I take him in a heartbeat. He's not as good defensively in the defensive zone where Jacob Johnston is right now.
So. Agreed, yeah. Yeah, if I had to rank the D, I would go Lapine first, then probably Johnston second, then Krug, and then you get into that Baron Corbin hodgepodge of several guys that are in that same.
And Krug and Beaulieu are interesting as well as Shepke because they are all veterans now. So and you can only bring two of those back.
Right.
So that gets really difficult as well.
And who knows with the new coach. You know, Pyle didn't really care about the veteran limit because he had no intention of getting to it. But with the new coach, maybe he'll want four veterans, which is the limit. And if so, then, yeah, those spots become very, very interesting to see how they are filled. And yeah, Shepke, Beaulieu, Krug. I haven't done the math yet on that. I wonder if Clark is a veteran too at this point. I don't think he's gotten that point. So yeah, we didn't have that many in play this year that would have gotten to that. So we'll see if that becomes an issue. Lapine too is another.
Yep.
He was a veteran this year. So yeah, I would say so. We're saying Beaulieu is a lock, and
Lapine wasn't a veteran.
Oh yeah, I think he will be though. I think he wasn't because the time he spent in Europe did not count.
It doesn't count.
But I think after this season, he probably is at that point where he would be a veteran by ECHL Rule 2. So,
it's another tough one.
We both get Beaulieu. I'm going Lowry, Moon, Levier.
And ABM.
ABM and Lapine. Yep. And you're going Beaulieu.
ABM, Clark, Lowry, Sakaris, and Johnston.
Interesting.
Yep. Shockers, Hockey Rock Song of the Week.
13 years ago today, May 14th, 2001. This is one for the It'll Make You Feel Old file. The 242nd and final new episode of Baywatch aired in syndication. Yes, it has been 13 years since Baywatch went off the air. Well, with new episodes. The show's famous theme song was sung by Jimmy Jameson, who was best known as the lead singer of Survivor, which is the band that did Eye of the Tiger from Rocky III. So this is a song I played at Swander when we did beach-themed promo nights. It is I'm Always Here by Jimmy Jameson, otherwise known as the theme from Baywatch.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
Hump.
I love BJ's
fur circus.
Steven Ricker's testicles.
He butted.
No touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filippula.
Filippuli. Filippalapala.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
That was totally wicked!
Now Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And Daddy.
Back in the studios, WYIR 96.9 FM, downtown Evansville, in the dungeon of the Wired Coffee House, Michael Shockley, Derek Benigni, Shocker, Dirty D, Iceman Insights Part 2, Playoff Update.
We'll begin at the bottom of the food chain. In the SPHL, the Pensacola Ice Flyers beat the Columbus Cottonmouths 2-1 in the best of three final. Not a fan of best of three championship series.
And I am at the SPHL level.
You wouldn't be in favor of best of five?
Again, it's all about the money.
That's true. It is the second straight championship for Pensacola. And that brings me to the CHL, where Daniel Tatro and the Allen Americans beat the Denver Cutthroats 4-1 in a best of seven final. And that is Allen's second straight championship as well. The tie-in with these two teams is Ross MacKinnon, who dressed as a backup goaltender for the Icemen for 4 last season. He was Pensacola's...
2 seasons ago?
Well, not this past season, but
yeah.
The year, 2012-2013, our first ECHL season. He was Pensacola's starting goaltender all season, wins the championship with them. And then when their season is over, he signed with Allen to be their backup goaltender for the finals. And he played, well, he dressed as their backup goalie for every game in the finals. So he won 2 professional championships in the same season.
That is awesome.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Also, I have never heard of this guy.
Ross MacKinnon?
Yep.
Yeah. He only dressed as a backup for 4, never actually played in a game. In our first ECHL season. So I'm sure a lot of people listening are going, who? But seriously, he did dress as our backup for 4.
Yep.
In the ECHL, the Western finals are set.
As well as the East.
Yes. The Alaska Aces beat Idaho in 5, and Bakersfield beat Stockton in 5. And then in the East, Greenville beat Wheeling in 6. And the Cincinnati Cyclones wrapped it up on Tuesday night, beating the Fort Wayne Comets 4-2. So I did not do particularly well. I picked Cincinnati. I did not pick Greenville, and I did not pick Bakersfield.
What did I pick?
You never actually sent me your picks.
Oh, I thought this was from going back then.
No. See, I went on record with picks for the second round.
I see.
I asked you, and you said you were working on them, and then I never got them.
There's been a lot of work being done at different levels. Well, I had Cincy because I have them winning the whole thing.
Right.
And I have Wheeling. So, and I have Alaska
and Wheeling
playing against
lost.
Cincy. Oh, no, I had Greenville, I think. And I don't know the other one. So, anyways, the AHL. How about the Springfield?
Yeah.
Dropping it again.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if some heads are going to roll up there.
Yeah, we'll get to that. They are in the second round now. Not Springfield, but the AHL is in the second round.
Toronto Marlies.
Yeah, your beloved Toronto Marlies swept the Milwaukee Admirals in the first round and are now up 2-0 on the Chicago Wolves. They're
Leaf
doing
Nation.
Pretty darn well.
Yep.
Maybe they should call the whole team up to the Leafs.
Don't even get me started.
All right, we'll move on to the NHL then.
Yep.
In the East, the Boston Bruins and Montreal Canadiens.
Is that going to be a war? I've already got it all planned out where I'm watching that one tomorrow.
You mean tonight?
Yes, because we're live.
Because we're live, Game 7 tonight. Game 7 in the Penguins-Rangers series was Tuesday night, last night. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. And the Rangers won that one 2-1. Which brings me to the question, is there any truth to the scuttlebutt that Mr. Dan Bylsma may find himself out of work after another playoff collapse by the Penguins?
I guess there's rumors of that happening.
Yeah.
Because they were even talking about it. I was listening to the Rangers broadcast, and they were talking about that. So I think he's a fantastic coach.
Agreed.
And I would hire him in a heartbeat.
Agreed.
So... And my Leafs just signed Randy Carlyle to a 2-year extension, but we piss money away like crazy. So
buy him out
and
bring Bylsma in.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. So, but, yeah, he could be in trouble. And what did I hear? That they've dropped the last 4 home game sevens the Penguins have lost.
Wow.
Yeah, 4 in a row.
Man, that's an
on
interesting
home
stat.
Ice, yep. So
when I think it's something like 73% or whatever, usually the home team wins game 7.
But I think what's interesting is you have to look at the Pittsburgh Penguin model, which is they have 5 of the top 20 players in the entire league. And
then they got a whole lot of garbage.
Well, I wouldn't call it garbage, but you have role players.
Right.
And can you, in the salary cap era, can you be successful with this kind of setup? And I don't know if you can. And you look at teams that are similar to that. You look at my Toronto Maple Leafs. We have big-time money tied up in the...
Clarkson.
Yes. Clarkson, Kessel, Phaneuf. And then we're filling in the pieces, and we're a team that can't even make the playoffs with that. So
that's because you're the Leafs,
exactly. So I don't know. I think it's more of a there's an issue with the model than there is with the coaching.
Yeah, I would not be in disagreement with that. I do think, though, much like the situation in Nashville with Barry Trotz, I think there does come a time where no matter how good a coach is, you just need to move on, shake things up, and get a different voice in there to try to see if you can improve things. So if they do let Bylsma go, he will be like Trotz in that he will only be unemployed for as long as he desires to be.
You say that, but I don't agree with that. I don't think Trotz is that good.
Trotz is going to – somebody will hire him.
Mm-hmm.
He may not be as good as his
– Carolina's already passed on him.
Have they officially?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, they didn't hire anyone yet.
No, they haven't hired anybody. Okay. Washington's interested in it, too.
Ew.
What was that? I just had a stroke. Washington is interested in him, too. Enunciation is hard.
Yep.
Anyway, moving on. In the Western Conference, the Ducks and Kings. Game 6 is tonight.
Yep.
Anaheim leads 3-2.
They really got a late start on that whole series.
Yeah, and it doesn't wrap up until Friday. Game 7 will be Friday if necessary.
And then Chicago beats Minnesota in overtime. Patrick Kane with his 6th of the season to finish that one up.
So the Blackhawks move on. So there will be no Game 7 on Thursday. That was pretty awesome. I liked how they did do the schedule to where if all the series went 7 games, it would have been 4 straight nights of having a Game 7.
Nice.
But a couple of them didn't pan out that way.
Yep.
But still, it's been a really good round. You know, none of the series were blowouts. They were all close. And I think it's a testament to the quality of the teams that advanced out of the first round that everybody brought it in the second round.
Yep.
There were no flukes in the first round. So that's our playoff.
And how about
update.
Minnesota? And when we when we picked playoffs back when the started, I thought that was the easiest one to call. Colorado over Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Easy deal. And Minnesota steals that one in 7 and then really played fantastic hockey against the Blackhawks. And all that team needs is a goaltender because I don't care what you say. Breezy is horrible.
Yeah. I still think there's a very good chance they're going to go after Ryan Miller. They're going to overpay for him, but I think they're going to go after him.
It could be.
Because
they're a small market team.
Yeah.
We need to have a lockout.
Very much so.
Small market teams.
Because, I do not think the Blues are going to bring Miller back. There's more and more talk about their Doug Armstrong has already come out and said Jake Allen's going to be on our NHL roster next season. The question is he a 1B to a Ryan Miller 1A, or is he our starter and we bring in a veteran to be the backup?
Yeah, and I really liked, kind of on that topic, what New Jersey did. Last year at the draft, they pulled a big trade with Vancouver and get Corey Schneider, but they still had Brodeur under contract for 1 year, and they just went to Schneider and said, you're the backup. He's Marty Brodeur,
mm-hmm.
and he played really well, and almost that tandem almost got him into the playoffs. But then they went to Marty after the season went over and said, thank you for everything. We're going to Corey.
He's our guy
yep.
now.
And
right.
Do what you got to do. So, and I think – but you can't do that with –
with
Ryan
Miller.
Ryan Miller isn't
no.
signing a one-year contract so that Jake Allen can take over in 2 years.
Right.
So, if anything, I can't remember who brought it up. I think it was Johnny Kell said, what about Marty Brodeur going to St. Louis for 1 year?
As Jake Allen's backup?
Well
a 1B, 1A yep. situation.
Yep. Right. The hot hand.
That would be interesting.
Yep. And so, because I think I would do it. If I was Marty Brodeur, I'd finish off my career on one-year contracts here and there, helping a bunch of young kids.
Go to a team that you think
yep.
can contend for the cup and see if you can get another ring before your career's over.
Yep.
Yeah. If the price is right, I wouldn't, as a Blues fan, I wouldn't be opposed to that one bit. But I do think if Jake Allen is not in the system, reigning AHL goaltender of the year, basically the AHL's version of the Vezina.
Yes.
you know, if Allen is not there, I think the Blues probably keep Miller at whatever cost it is. But because of Allen's presence, and it sure seems like he's ready to move up and at least get a shot at being a starter in the NHL, I think that makes it a lot more likely that they just let Miller walk and Minnesota or whoever else can overpay for him.
Sounds good. We moving on?
Yes.
Let's talk about the Birds and the Bee Gees.
Let's. Our
full moon tonight, by the way.
Last night, you mean?
No, tonight.
Oh, tonight?
Yep.
I get confused.
We're live.
Yeah. So the Springfield Falcons, the best regular season in franchise history, ultimately meant squat because they lost 3-2 to the Providence Bruins in the best of five opening round. They were up 2-1 in that series, lost game 4 at Providence 6-3. Then they hosted game 5, took a 3-1 lead in that game, and ended up losing 6-3 again. And I don't care who you are, you can't give up 12 goals in 2 games and expect to win.
Yeah.
That's not a recipe for success.
No. And there's always been some frustration around the Iceman organization about does Springfield really help us out as much as other teams help out their ECHL affiliates. You look at Coach Crom in Stockton, and he got Christmas came twice to the Crom household when he got Jeremy Langlois and everybody else that got sent down to him right before the playoffs. And I've always kind of defended Springfield, saying you don't know what these guys' situation is. They may all lose their job if they flame out again in the playoffs.
Right.
And now we will see, because they flamed out again in the playoffs.
Yeah. But we saw that in other situations too. Kalamazoo lost a lot of their guys early on, right before the playoffs, and then during the first round. They had guys coming up and down the whole first round, and it killed them.
Yep.
There's a reason why they didn't go up to the second round. If they had all their guys, they were the better team in the first round against Greenville, I believe it was, that they played.
Disagree.
You don't think so?
No.
You think Greenville's that good?
I do.
Really?
Obviously.
Well, they beat
Wheeling. Picked them. And,
yeah. All right, and then Columbus thought it would be worth mentioning the goaltending logjam they have starting next season, which is interesting because if the Icemen are affiliated with Columbus again, we could be getting a very good goaltender down who is on NHL contract. Because in the NHL, we know Sergei Bobrovsky is going to be the clear number one, but after that, it's totally up in the air. They had 3 other guys under NHL contract this year. Curtis McElhaney was the number 2 in Columbus. And then Mike McKenna and Jeremy Smith were the 1A, 1B, really, in Springfield. And all of them are free agents after this season. So,
oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, they were all on one-year deals.
Wow.
So they could all be sent packing. And then under AHL contract, Springfield had Mike Clemente and also Linus Lundin, who spent the season in the CHL with St. Charles. And they were both on one-year deals as well. So that's 5 guys who could be out of the pipeline, making room for the kids, because they have a large rookie class of goaltenders all turning pro at the same time for this coming season. We'll start with Oscar Dansk, I believe.
Yep.
Is it Dansk?
It is Dansk.
He's 20 years old from Sweden. He was their second-round pick in 2012. This year in juniors, he went 29-9-1 with a .239 goals against average and a .909 save percentage in the OHL with Erie. And he is signed to the NHL entry-level deal through 2016-2017. So he's a big prospect. They're really high on him.
Yeah, he actually played in Traverse City at the prospect camp. Yeah. He was the number one goalie that played all the games.
So. They really like him. And I would guess out of all these rookies, he will get the first crack at significant playing time in Springfield.
Yep.
Another goaltender, Anton Forsberg, another Swede. He is 21. Was their seventh round pick in 2011, spent this past season in the Swedish Elite League, and then at the end of their season came over and played for Springfield at the end of the season. Played really well, too, at .134 goals against average and a .952 save percentage in three games for the Falcons. He is signed through 2015-2016. And based on the way he played in Springfield, I would say he certainly earned himself a serious look for at least AHL, significant AHL playing time next season.
It's going to be an interesting camp.
Yes, it is.
Then
we
have being coached by Barry Trotz.
Is it Jonas or Jonas? Do you know? Korpisalo?
That one I don't know.
J-O-O-N-A-S. I would guess Jonas because it's Finnish. He is from Finland. He's only 20. He was their third round pick in 2012. Spent this past season in the Finnish Elite League after working his way up the junior ranks in Finland. He is signed through the 2016-2017 season. The interesting thing with Korpisalo is he also has two more years under contract with his team in the Finnish Elite League. So
they may keep him over there.
Yeah, they very well, because they've got such a logjam, they may well be able to just keep him over in Finland and let him get another year of seasoning as a starter over there. So of all these guys, I would think he's the least likely to end up here. And then the fourth is Martin Ouellet, 22 years old from Quebec, was a seventh rounder in 2010. This year, he just finished his college career at the University of Maine, a Black Bear. As a senior, he had a .229 goals against average and a .925 save percentage, which is darn good in college. He has not yet signed his entry-level contract with the Blue Jackets. They have, I believe, until June 15th to make their decision. And there's, I think it's June 15th. It's the 15th of one of the months in this summer. And if they don't sign him by then he becomes a free agent. But I would
think that was a teammate of Marc-Anthony.
I think so, yeah. And I think what they do with Ouellet really depends on what they want to do at the higher levels with the guys who were under contract this year. I don't think any of these kids are going to play in Columbus, at least start the season in Columbus. I think Bobrovsky is the clear number one, and they'll probably bring either McElhaney back or sign another veteran to be the backup.
You don't think they'll put McKenna up there?
Maybe. He could be the other. Yeah, I would say McElhaney or McKenna as the backup, probably with McElhaney being more likely. But the question is then, what do they want to do in Springfield? Do they want two kids to be there, or do they want a veteran like a McKenna there to tutor one of the kids and then stash another kid down in the E?
Yeah, and wasn't Jeremy Smith a first-round pick?
I think so. Originally, he was with Nashville.
Yeah,
and he ended up kind of falling out of favor there. He played a few years for Milwaukee, and they let him go after last season, and Springfield signed him to an AHL. Or no, Columbus signed him to an NHL deal, but specifically to be in the AHL. So I don't know what they do. It really depends on what they want to do as an organization. If they want to have a veteran in Springfield to work with one of the kids, then I would say that probably means Ouellet does not get signed. But if they go with two kids in Springfield and just a veteran in Columbus as the backup, then I would think they would sign Ouellet for added depth, because I don't think Korpisalo comes to North America. I think he'll be in Finland. It's just a matter of how many of the kids are somewhere in the system in North America. But one way or the other, there's going to be some darn good talent in net. And if we're affiliated with them, hopefully one of the darn good talents trickles down to Evansville.
Yep, I have plans, and hopefully the power to make it happen, to be in Traverse City for the prospect camp in August. So I'm hoping to make that happen.
Very cool.
Yep. We've got a new segment here.
Yes,
on
we do.
Iceman Insights. Tell us all about it, Mike Shockley.
Well, I don't know if I can tell you all about it. I think it kind of has to speak for itself. It defies words. So I'll leave the words up to the man who is featured in this new segment, and if everyone likes it, it will become a recurring segment. So let us know what you think. Take it away, Mr. Rickard.
Iceman Insights and Tata Tunes Productions present Rap Masterpiece Theater. Some know him as Jam Master Stevie Steve, while others call him Rap Master Rickard. He's straight out of Muhlenberg County. The man, the myth, the lyrical legend, Steven Rickard.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny that when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung, want to pull out your tuff, because you notice that butt was stuffed. Deep in the jeans she's wearing, I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, I want to get with you and take your picture. My homeboy's trying to warn me, but that butt you've got makes me so horny. Oh, rump o' smooth skin, you say you want to get in my bins? Well, use me, cause you ain't that average groupie. I've seen them dancing, to hell with romancing. She's sweat, wet, got it going like a turbo vet. I'm tired of magazines saying flat butts aren't the thing. Take the average black man and ask him that. She's got a pack much back. So fellas, fellas, has your girlfriend got the butt? Tell him to shake it. Shake it. Shake that healthy butt. Baby got back. And taters.
This has been Rap Masterpiece Theater, starring Steven Rickard. Tune in next time for another hip-hop classic. Until then, keep it real, homies.
Third segment, Natural Hat Trick here for Iceman Insights. Shocker. Benigni.
Foreshadowing.
Iceman Insights, skating down memory lane. The Johnny Kells inspired segment.
Yes, we reminisce about great moments and some not so great moments in Iceman history. And this is one of the latter.
Uh-oh.
Normally these have only been positive, but this is a not so great moment. Last show we talked about how the Iceman gave up a lot of goals at the start and end of periods this past season. To prove that that is not a new problem, we go back to December 31st, 2008, during the first AHA season, the inaugural season of Iceman hockey. The Iceman celebrated New Year's Eve that night with a 9-1 loss at Battle Creek. And in that game, I don't think you could replicate this if you tried, the Iceman gave up goals 8 seconds into the first period, 9 seconds into the second period, and 15 seconds into the third period.
Yeah, that's called not being focused.
Yeah, that's not how you draw it up in the locker room.
No.
Coming out for that first shift for the new period.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you think we gave up a lot of goals early in periods this year, just consider that it could be a lot worse.
The Brian Patafi Tweet of the Week.
Iceman fans can follow Iceman athletic trainer and former amusement park guest Brian Patafi on Twitter. His handle is bpatafi, B-P-A-T-A-F-I-E. He said, quote, "You know, I'd like to see things from Pierre Maguire's point of view, but I can't get my head that far up my beep.
Derriere."
Yes. Hashtag shut up, Pierre.
I
couldn't agree more.
5 years ago, I can't even remember what it was, but that one time he was in between the benches and he was just waxing poetically about Sidney Crosby, but he was just turned and staring at him and just talking about how great a player he was and everything else. And it is one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever seen on TV.
He's so creepy in an annoying, he's annoying, but in a creepy way.
Yeah.
I could deal with annoying.
Yep.
There's a lot of broadcasters who are annoying, but
yeah.
He's annoying to the
tell
nth
me
degree.
About my job here.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. Yeah.
He is the he leads the ECHL in most losses by a head coach in a season.
Pierre Maguire. Really?
There you go.
That's a good fact to know. I like
there you
that.
Go.
Look at you. You've been reading your record book.
Something like that. I got a lot of time here in the off season since I haven't been going to the office. Hockey 101 also known as Derek Gets an F.
Yeah, you failing hockey 101.
Uh-huh.
Cleaning some things up from previous episodes. First off, you said in our last episode that a natural hat trick is the first three goals of a game, not, as I said, three in a row in the same game or period at any point. You were certain that a natural hat trick is the first three goals of a game, and that's it. So, I went to Wikipedia,
which
cites NHL.com.
Yeah.
A natural hat trick occurs when a player scores three consecutive goals uninterrupted by any other player scoring for either team, which is how I had defined it.
Whoa.
Or we can go to dictionary.com, which cites Random House. It says, natural hat trick, noun, for those who didn't know. Three goals scored in succession by one player in one game or one period. Again, nothing about it having to be the first three goals of a game.
So by the dictionary.com, if a player scores a goal in the first period and then two goals in the second period, it is not a natural hat trick.
Well, it depends on the definition, because that calls for both one game or one period.
Right.
That's the two variations I've heard, and I'm fine with either one of those. I think more three in succession in the game, even if it's not in the same period, is more often heard. But I've heard the one period as well.
So,
but I've never heard your definition that it has to be the first three of the game.
So you're using two different definitions to show that you are correct, even though it's two different definitions.
Well, I mentioned both of those definitions last show. And the definition you stick to is not correct.
Can decide at home.
Yes.
Who is blowing smoke.
We'll move on to the next way you're wrong. Also,
we don't even know the context of this anymore.
Yeah, we do.
This is going to be the first thing that is edited out, I guarantee you.
In our last show, you denied having said in our previous episode that an overtime loss always got a point. Well, I sent you the audio clip to prove it.
Tell us all the context of this whole debate.
The context is we were talking about... What was the context?
That's what I mean. That's why there's no reason to even talk about this, and that's why I'm telling you it's going to get edited.
So we'll just... I'll go to the Cliff's Notes version. You're wrong, I was right.
There you go.
Basically...
I have five different sources that are say different things to prove that I am right.
In a nutshell... The overtime, you had said that there was they didn't always play overtime.
What was the context? It's true. They didn't always play overtime.
Right.
Yes.
The context was we were talking about the overtime loss and whether or not it was worth a point.
Okay.
And I said it was always – I said it was not always worth a point, and you said it was. That was the context.
Okay.
We're talking about the point standings.
So and what years was it not worth a point?
It was not worth a point – from 1917-18 through 1942, they played a 10-minute overtime.
Did they really?
Yes, and it was not worth a point. In 1942, they got rid of overtime due to wartime restrictions. I'm not sure how that played in. And they did not play overtime from then until 1982-83. But then they reinstated overtime in 1983-84. And from then until 98-99, it was not worth a point if you lost in overtime. Yeah. So it was not until 98-99. I don't know. But the point is, you were wrong.
Yep,
I was right.
I will give you credit on that one.
All right.
Booster clubbing.
The ECHL Booster Club Jamboree is July 18th to the 20th, primarily at the Tropicana Casino.
Trop.
Yes. Booster Club members are welcome to attend. More information at ECHLBCJamboree.org. Go check it out. Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of capital letters.
That is a lot of capital letters, yeah. Dixie registered that. Or you can just go to IcemanManiacs.com and there's a link that clicks over to it. And then we are not going to do cool summer fan gatherings this year.
Because no one showed up last time except for me and Johnny Kells.
No one showed up last year.
And Ian Frazier.
And we're busy working on the Jamboree. So instead, we are just helping promote the events that Stephen Rickard and Jason Patrick Roberts are putting together that people actually are going to. And we're calling them Maniac Invasions.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know if you went to IcemanManiacs.com, but I have a graphic that looks like the old Space Invaders logo.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. No, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. And there are two coming up. On Saturday, May 31st at 7 o'clock at Franklin Lanes, the Maniacs will go globe bowling again. $6 gets you 3 hours of bowling with a party room, and it includes shoe rentals, so that's a very good deal. And then on Saturday, June 14th, 2 weeks later, at 6:35 at Bossy Field. The Maniacs will be having a picnic at the Otters game. $15 gets you a reserve seat, burgers, hot dogs, unlimited soft drinks, and added bonus at that game, apparently Nathan Moon will be throwing out the first pitch.
Impressive.
Yeah, cool. Pretty cool. Yep. So there you go.
The dangling tangent.
Finishing the show with an off-topic topic, because we haven't gone tangential enough already.
Holy crap, I'm glad you brought this up, because I forgot all about it. It's on the calendar.
Well, I'm glad I could be of assistance. Disney on Ice is playing the Ford Center this weekend, Thursday through Sunday. The focus of the show this year is Disney Princesses.
That's kind of the focus every year.
Yeah. Last year they did Cars, though. We went to it last year when they had some Cars stuff, and that was pretty cool.
Well,
but there's a lot of princess stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of princess stuff.
Yeah. This year it's totally on princesses. So my question for you is, of all time, there have been many, who is your favorite Disney princess?
My favorite Disney princess is Tiana from Princess and the Frog.
Really?
Yep. And part of that may be that I think Prince Naveen's probably my favorite prince of all, too. Because it's a great storyline where his parents, his royal parents, have cut him off because he won't get a job and he's too busy playing jazz music all the time. So he has got to find someone to marry that has a lot of money so that he can continue to live his frivolous ways. I really love the Tiana character. I love the setup at the beginning of the movie where her family cooks tons of food and feeds the community and everything else, and she uses that drive to step out into the world and live her dreams. So she's my favorite by far.
My favorite, and I'm surprised with your thing for redheads, this isn't your favorite, Ariel.
Yeah, you know, I do. There's well documented proof of my inability to cope around redheads. But man, she just looks so young. Even when I was 20 years old, it was just like, man, she looks like she's 14.
See, when that movie came out, she was old compared to me.
Yeah, so I've
our generational difference here.
There is just no.
You feel a little dirty?
It's more. Yeah, it just, she's a child. I can't. Yeah, and that. Nope, can't do it.
Gotcha. So if Ariel was 10 years older, probably because of the redhead.
Well, obviously. So, yep.
Alrighty.
Final thoughts.
Next show, who knows?
Who knows?
Sometime in June,
maybe. I may actually do an amusement park in May too.
Really?
So we'll wait and see.
Yeah. Well, I won't be here.
Yeah, there you
I'm
go.
I'm too busy the next couple weeks. Going to be out of town, going to a wedding in Buffalo. So I won't be here.
That's right.
So the next time we'll be together on the radio will be sometime in June.
Yep.
First or second week, probably. Who knows?
Maybe. Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
A long ways away.
Yeah. You can't plan past today, obviously, since you forgot about Disney on Ice.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and we'll be wrapping up the ECHL. Interested to see how that plays out. Cincy and Greenville hoping to make trips to one or both of them.
Really?
To watch some of the conference finals.
Did you do any of the second round games?
No, I had opportunity to go to Wheeling, but just to get in the car and do another 7.5 hour drive, I told Rebecca it feels like work now, and we're not getting paid for it, so scrap that. But hopefully, hoping to see one of those, and then NHL is going to be fantastic right down to the very end. So, and then we can start getting ready for the draft.
Yeah, we'll talk draft. We'll talk NHL awards,
and ECHL will have to lock in their players. So that'll be an interesting time as well, especially to see once the coach gets set up. Is he keeping a lot of these players, qualifying them, or moving away from them? So that'll be interesting.
And there's going to be silly season developments probably still. So all kinds of stuff going on, and we'll catch up with all of it and spend way more time on it than we should.
He is Michael Shockley.
Did you forget?
I almost called you Brian Patafi.
Oh,
Is Michael Shockley, the senior writer, the webmaster, the vice president of Offbeat Shenanigans for IcemanManiacs.com, your best source for all Evansville Iceman information, IcemanManiacs.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
We'll see you on the radio sometime.
The puck is in, the home team wins the good old hockey game.